everybody, Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my friend Ray Allen. Ray, producing and engineering the show. On the other side of the glass, together we welcome you to the Buckmaster program on this Monday, August 22nd. Hope you had a great weekend. We're coming to you from AM 1030 KBOI, Tucson's Voice. The show live line is open for you, 790-2040, for your calls, comments, and suggestions. We invite you to become a friend of ours on Facebook, and we're at Twitter at Buckmaster Show. The Monday Political Face-Off is presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. If you have any issues concerning framing, Moe is the guy to handle all of it. It's a family business. Has been. They've done great work here in Tucson since 1985. Moe will make house calls if you're kind of worrying about where to put a particular object and how to get it to stay up. Moe takes care of all of that. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com, and they're on Facebook as well. Our Monday Political Face-Off today features Bruce Ash. Mr. Ash is in his fourth term as the Republican National Committeeman for Arizona. Paul Eckerstrom is here, former chairman of the state and Pima County Democratic Party. Paul and Bruce, how is it going?
Good.
Dandy.
Yeah.
Did you have a good weekend?
Great weekend, not long enough as usual. And if I can just add on to what you said about Mo, death-defying acts is what he sometimes has to perform in order to get things up on a wall.
Oh, my
and,
goodness.
You know, when we get a little older, and Mo, I'm not saying that you're getting old. Mm-hmm. I may be as old as you, if not older. But, you know, your balance isn't quite what it was when you were 27. And boy, oh boy, I mean, he works without a net underneath him.
Yeah.
He really does some great work. So.
And he has that thing that levels to
right.
make sure everything is exactly
yep.
the way it,
yep.
it should
yep.
be, you
yep.
know, very, very even on the wall. Bruce, how are things going? We were talking briefly before I went out of town last week, at the end of the week, and you said, this Donald Trump is a different candidate. Obviously, he's different than anything we've seen, but is he kind of going to be the maybe template for others to follow in the Republican Party?
I suspect he'll be a template for both sides to follow.
Hmm.
And even look, when you think about it, you know, obviously I'm not supporting Hillary Clinton, Paul is, but you know, in her own way, she also is a iconic, you know, media driven cultural, you know, she's historic in terms of being the first woman, you know, she was first lady, her husband was president, you know, now here we are, you know, some 20 or so years later, almost, you know, she's running for president. So, you know, there's lots of this media cult, you know, kind of, you know, famous person thing going on in the election. And I suspect that, you know, we're going to see more of that as time goes on. These are cultural elections.
Paul, that is something I would assume maybe the particular behavior of Mr. Trump is not something you would like to see
no.
in future campaigns.
I don't think that's going to be a template. I truly believe people are being turned off by it. And I, you know, the use of social media and things of that sort, yes. But the style of bullying and basically – just saying whatever he can to that's inflammatory so he can get on the media, I think is not something that'll be a template. I think what you're seeing right now is there's a frustration in among the American people about what's happening to them in both the new economy, which is not favorable to working folks or not favorable to the middle class, and very favorable to the very wealthy. And also the government for not adjusting things so that the middle class stays healthy. There's that frustration that's been going on that nothing's happening to help them. And I think that frustration has fueled what Donald Trump, I think if you really want to see a template for politicians in the future, it's somebody who addresses those needs in the middle class. And I think Bernie Sanders did that very well, and he did it without big money. And I think that may be a template for the future for a successful politician in the future dealing with this type of environment and this type of frustration in the voting public. And it, you know, if those issues are addressed at some point and the voting public changes and is not as frustrated, then it'll be more kind of a different type of political situation. It changes every cycle or every few years. But right now, the voting public is very frustrated, and I think you're seeing that's why Donald Trump had the success he did. That's why Bernie Sanders had the success he did. But Donald Trump is not going to be successful in the general election, mainly because of his temperament and the way he's erratic and kind of a bully on the block. And I think people are going to reject that ultimately.
Think so, Bruce?
Well, what Paul has described is a populist.
Mm-hmm.
And populism is nothing new. The mainstream media likes to criticize and talk it down, whether it's here in this country or abroad. You know, the polls show a lot of different things happening in this election, and things that might turn off a Republican elite or a Democratic elite are not the things that are turning off the average voter. And the last 2 weeks have been very good for Donald Trump and not so good for Hillary Clinton. There is a legitimate question about Mrs. Clinton's health. And it becomes more obvious the more examination that goes on. The things that are happening around the world also should be a great, great concern to Americans. And the way that the Clinton Foundation has sidled up with so many crooked business people around the world and so many despots from around the world, illegitimate leaders, if not undemocratic leaders, taken hundreds of millions of dollars from individuals and countries who. And you have to watch what Hillary Clinton does versus what Hillary Clinton says. She says, of course, that you know she believes in women's equality, but she is taking money, and she's been influenced by many people who don't believe in equality for females, and this is troubling to a lot of American voters. Donald Trump has given a great speech on national security, a great speech on the economy, a great speech on law and order, and at the same time he did that speech, he pivoted to further his reach out to African Americans and to Hispanic Americans. And then last week, we've seen this horrific story unfold along the Gulf where you know, tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people are underwater. Their lives have literally been changed overnight by the flooding in the Delta. And it wasn't Barack Obama who showed up. It wasn't Hillary Clinton who showed up. It was Donald Trump who showed up. And he showed up He resembled more of a community organizer, I think, than Donald Trump, but than Barack Obama, and put his money where his mouth is, his own money, not his campaign's money. And you know, Paul, it's interesting. Hillary Clinton gets most of her money from big fat cat donors and from big fat cat companies. Donald Trump primarily receives donations just like Barack Obama did and just like Bernie Sanders has, because going back to what I started with, populism is a big deal, and he's going to continue to raise money, is raising lots of money in August, and he will through the end of the election, and I believe he'll prevail. In fact, you know, somebody said to me the other day, so what do you think? And I said, you know, I might be the only guy that you know saying this. I'm convinced Donald Trump's going to win this election.
If Donald Trump's a populist, then I don't know. I mean, look, Donald Trump is taking money from big people now. He was self-financing supposedly in his primaries, but now he's taking money. And you
the
know,
majority of his gifts are $20
populist or less. A populist has actual policies that help people. And that's what Bernie Sanders had, and that's why he was so popular in the Democratic primaries. And I suspect if he had more time, he would have overtaken Hillary.
Can you give me
let me talk. You talk for
no,
like 10 minutes,
a question.
Bruce. Just let me
I'm
talk.
I'm just asking a question,
Let me.
What are the three most anti-American policies
of Donald
Trump?
All right, you want the radio show?
No,
go ahead,
Go ahead.
Just asking a question, Paul.
Paul,
you
go ahead.
You made a statement.
Paul,
well, here's the deal. if Donald Trump's policies were good for the middle class, I'd agree with you, Bruce, but he doesn't. His tax policy. His tax policy
is
a huge boon for very, very wealthy people like himself. And that is not going to get us what we need, which is good paying jobs.
And what's it done to the middle class?
It doesn't do anything for the middle class.
That's not correct.
It is correct. It doesn't do anything.
That's not the tax plan.
It's going to, one, bankrupts the government so that we'll never get out of debt.
When you lower taxes,
we won't be
able, tax revenues
we won't
go
be
up,
able
Paul.
To do a works program like Hillary has proposed.
He's
and
already
Trump's saying he wants to do it.
He's already
but
talking about
money?
A works program.
Where's the money? If you give a huge tax cut
Paul,
to wealthy people again,
Paul, because
there's
you
no
don't
money for it.
Because
absolutely
you don't
not.
Understand economics.
I know.
When
you like to interrupt, so I can't get my
When marginal tax rates go down,
Bruce, go ahead.
No.
You can have the floor
Bruce.
For the rest of the show.
No.
Paul,
Bruce,
when marginal
Bruce,
tax
please.
Rates go down,
Bruce, please.
Tax revenues
hold
go
on.
Up.
Hold on. Paul. Paul.
Goodbye,
Paul.
That's
come
good.
On. Paul.
That's good.
Let's take a break.
The Regional Transportation Authority funds new sidewalks, pedestrian crossings, and bike lanes across the region to enhance our regional mobility and safety. The RTA's 20-year plan also includes roadway improvement projects and expanded transit services to provide added convenience and accessibility. The RTA continues to deliver its promise to you to make our region a better place to live, work, and play. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Hi, Alan Schultz from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona here to remind you to start with trust and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you're sure to find a business you can trust. Whether you need a quote from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. All right. Hey, it's great. Monday here. It's the Monday Political Face-Off. Paul Eckerstrom walking out today of the Buckmaster Show, said that he did not get enough time to speak, that Bruce Ash was interrupting him. So, well, Bruce, did you interrupt him? Were you rude?
Well, to Paul, probably I was. Look, if I had a dime for every time that I appeared on a radio show or a TV show over the past decade or so, Bill, and was looked down somebody else's nose, was criticized, was interrupted, was argued with, was brought down to size, you know, I'd be a rich guy. look, when Paul or anybody else says Donald Trump is doing things that are destructive to the middle class, okay, so give me three examples. This is the problem with liberals. Okay, they want to go on feelings and emotions. When you try to talk about facts and get them on the record, then all of a sudden they want to go on the attack, and it's you interrupting them. It's you that's a racist. It's you that's a homophobe. It's you who, you know, is a bad dude. And frankly, it hasn't been going so good for the Democratic candidate. I don't think that Paul is very enthusiastic. I can't really speak for Paul, but I listened to him. He was certainly more of a Bernie Sanders supporter. And, you know, they really don't have a viable candidate that stands for the people. And, you know, Donald Trump made a comment in Detroit last week. What do you have to lose? You know, blacks have been voting for Democrats now since they made their deal with the devil with Lyndon Johnson back in the 1960s.
Mm-hmm.
And what's it got them? Has it got them a greater standard of living? Are there more men staying at home fathering their children? You know, the president makes a comment, and this is a famous comment, that there are more black men who serve in jails than black men who are in college. It's absolutely a false statement, okay? Because those families that do have parents that both finish high school and do have marriage before a kid and do care about their kids, are involved in their education, these are young men and young women who are all going to college. And Donald Trump very much believes in the success of every American, whether they be white, whether they be from another country, whether they be of color, whether they be female or male. And this is a great country. I mean, really, what good things have happened in the last 7.5, almost 8 years that we'd want to repeat with a third term of Barack Obama?
Let's go to Josh, who has called us at 790-2040. Hey, Josh.
Hey. Yeah, I just want to thank Bruce, and I hope Paul's listening to this. I'm in my car all day, all over town. Listen to you all the time, Bill, plus the morning show.
Thank you.
Every time there is a debate, that's the Democratic go-to, is to interrupt, to talk over, and to demean and call names and racist. And Paul got a little bit of a taste of being interrupted and not getting out his point, and he ran off. So I'm happy. Good, Bruce. Stand up. That's why we like Trump. At least someone's fighting out there.
You know, Donald Trump is a disruptive political force. And I say that, Josh, in a very, very positive sort of a way. I know you're listening on your car radio now. And he is shaking up the world. And frankly, not just the Democrats are scared to death of him. There's lots of people within the Republican Party who are scared to death of him. And they ought to be. Because the way that the Republican Party has done business over the past many decades is not the way that we should be doing it in the future. And when you look at the kind of policies that Donald Trump is talking about, they're just as frightening to a Republican or elite Republican as they are anybody else. And I will share with you, Bill, on the RNC, my colleagues, very few, like me. I mean, I wasn't a Trump supporter during the primaries. I tried to stay out of the thing and remain like Switzerland as best I could, because of the committee I chaired. I would say almost to a man and woman, everybody is in support of Donald Trump and working very, very hard to make sure that he becomes our next president.
One of our Facebook friends wants me to ask you, being the committeeman for Arizona, aren't you supposed to be completely impartial when it comes to local elections?
Well, that's been something that I've tried to do.
Okay.
I've made two exceptions. Mm-hmm. One of them was Ray Carroll's reelection, because I live in his district. And I felt strongly that he had done a good job, had kept taxes as low as possible, and had different county operations that he had been in charge of, or not in charge of, but had helped influence that were good in the district where I live. In this primary election, I support Steve Christie. And Steve Christie is a guy who I've known, I think, probably much longer than Ray Carroll, I think close to 30 years. I have great respect for him as a businessman. I've seen him in action, whether it was with the Department of Transportation or on the RTA. And I don't think that there's any question as to the relative comparability of the two Republican candidates that are running for District 4. And I think the candidate who's running against him is a perfectly capable person, but she doesn't just have all of the same experience and I think temperament that Steve has shown in all of the things that he has done in a very long and successful and fruitful kind of a career for everybody here in Tucson. A guy who's been involved in so many different community activities as long as I can remember.
Is that part of your job, though, to remain impartial? Yeah. Is that in the job description?
Yeah, so let's talk about that. There's something called Rule 11, which says that unless there is a majority of support from the state members of the RNC, that would mean myself, Lori Klein, and Robert Graham, unless two of the three of us agreed to sign a Rule 11 letter in a state or federal race to give financial support from the Republican Party, we can't do that unless we issue a Rule 11 letter. I'm free to support people, okay? I generally try to stay out of local elections. And there's a couple of smarty pants people around town who took note of the fact that I was involved in a Steve Christie fundraiser. So be it. My one job that I have as a national committeeman and as any member of the Republican National Committee has, there's only one job I have, and that is to support the nominee for the presidency of the United States. Hmm. Other than that, we all make up the job descriptions that we have. And I don't think that you're going to find more than a tiny infinitesimal fraction of my fellow colleagues at the RNC who has filled up their bucket the way Bruce Ash has filled up his bucket since June of 2007 when I first became a member of the RNC. And I'm proud of that. I'm proud of the people that I've supported over the years, and I make no apologies. I think Steve Christie will be a great member of the County Board of Supervisors.
Have you endorsed local candidates in the past?
Sure I have. And Ray Carroll for one, and I've endorsed a whole host of different candidates, both in this election cycle as well as in prior election cycles. We do it through our money that we give to support them and so on.
All right. Bruce Ash, thank you very much. And Paul, come back, man. We're sorry. Paul Eckerstrom walking off the set today, walking out of the studio, felt that Bruce Ash was rude. And, hey, I feel like it's world wrestling here today, right?
Yeah. Well, like I said, I've been on lots and lots of shows over the years where it would have been – an easy thing to give in to temptation. You know, mm-hmm. gee, this is not something I want to do. But that's why we're here. That's why we're doing it. There should be a dialogue between conflicting political thinkers.
And so does Mo. Mo is our sponsor. Mo's a gallery and fine framing, family owned and run since 1985, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Mo's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at mosgallery.com. Bruce Ash, thank you very much. All right, coming up at 12:30 on The Buckmaster Show. Be right back.
This is our house. It's the place where Arizona football lives. It's where the game is bigger, better, and live. Grab your friends, wear the colors, and cheer on the Wildcats while enjoying fireworks, food, and football action. Choose the games that fit your schedule. Many plans provide a great value starting at $46 for your choice of three games. Get your seats today. Call 621-CATS or visit OurHouseAZ.com. It's my house. It's your house. It's our house.
Remodeling, restoring, or building new additions to your home?
Five Star has termite and pest solutions for you. Treatments to building materials can be performed while tradesmen continue to work. Worried about treatment marks? Don't be. Our treatments will be completed before texture and paint. Five Star will provide landscaping and drainage advice to eliminate moisture and other pest and termite attractions around the home.
Five Star Termite and Pest Control, protecting homes and homeowners since 1980. 886-0045.
Five Star Pest Control. We know what bugs you.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective, featuring regional, national, and international news, local opinion, and views from top national columnists, business and technology news, auto reviews, books, and the box office, plus sports and a look back at the Old West. The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Mori is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. And now at Vero Amori's lovely new location within the remodeled Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, Vero Amori is proud to announce an expanded menu and bar offerings with 16 microbrews on tap and 14 keg wines, along with two separate cooler rooms to keep the beverages at just the right temperature. Vero Amori, Plaza Palomino, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amori on the web at veroamori.com. This is Bill Buckmaster. Join us on Tuesday at noon to 1 for the Buckmaster Show. Shelley Fishman, certified financial planner, has the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. We'll talk about the 9/11 challenge. And Dan Gibson from Visit Tucson on Buckmaster, noon to 1 on KVOI, Tucson's Voice. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show on this Monday afternoon, presented by Green Things. Wow, what a great place. 13 acres now. They've expanded from their original 4 acres. They're over at 3384 East River Road, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. GreenThingsAZ.com have all of your gardening needs. Everything from 10-foot-tall palm trees to
some beautiful, beautiful pottery. They've got it all at Green Things. Tucson Museum of Art has a great lineup of exhibitions coming up for the new season. Julie Sassy, Dr. Julie Sassy, is Tucson Museum of Art Chief Curator and Curator of Modern, Contemporary, and Latin American Art. And Julie is with me in studio. Good to see you.
Good to see you.
Got a good lineup coming up, don't you?
We do. We have a lot of activity happening, and it's all going to open up actually as of Saturday.
Really?
So we're pretty excited.
Yeah, and being a member of the Tucson Museum of Art, I received the really nice like postal cards of some of these great shows. So let's start with the one that's coming up Saturday.
Well, we have From Modern into the Now. That's the Kasser Moshari Art Foundation. We have the wonderful opportunity to get back the large Rodin Adam sculpture, which we actually fought mightily to get back after the tour. That was from the Figure Examined exhibition we had in 2014-15, and it was so popular it doubled our attendance, so we had to bring some of those favorites back. So that exhibition is two parts. It is some of the early parts of the kind of beginnings of modernism. So we'll have such greats as Giacometti and Renoir and Picasso in that exhibition, and of course the Rodins. And then there's another section for that same show, and that one's Into the Now. And that will show not only wonderful artists like Hans Arp and Jacques Lipschitz, but also into what's called postmodernism. So that sort of emerged in the late 1960s, and you'll see people like Larry Rivers, Robert Rauschenberg, Rosenquist, and Andy Warhol, who's everyone's favorite.
And so this exhibit will be up almost a year, won't it?
We have some new changes. We have a great new executive director, CEO Jeremy Michalazak, and he's got great visions for the future. And one of those initiatives is to have the best of the best of our collection and what we can bring in, but then to keep those exhibitions up for a longer period of time so we can really put our hearts into quality exhibitions, quality interpretation, and we're going to be doing a lot more of bilingual text as well, so I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah, I look forward to meeting your new director. He does have a real vision for the Tucson Museum of Art, and he's very big with historic preservation as
Absolutely. We've been doing a lot of work with the renovation of the Casa Cordova. We had Corbett House days to bring people in to see that wonderful space and get tours and raise funds to make those properties stabilized and even better. So all of this is part of a really good new future for the museum.
Also opening up poetic minimalism.
That's one of my favorites. That's an exhibition that is actually selecting some of the gems from our collection. Robert Mangold, Olivier Mossé, and our own favorite in Tucson, Nancy Tokar Miller. But some of the greats and some of the people who responded to the idea of minimalism. And for the casual viewer, the minimalism that I talk about is where everything is very simple, monochromatic, one color, or very simple shapes. Very little going on, but a lot going on in the way of response.
This is a show that you basically put together, right?
I've actually organized all of the exhibitions
all
that are coming
them.
Up, except Joanne Stuhr, the curator of the Kasser Moshari Art Foundation, co-curated From Modern into the Now with me.
Yeah, so all of these shows that Traveler and His Treasures, Latin American Folk Art, that's starting also August 27th.
It is.
So there's something new here about a show normally would be up about 5 months, or 5 months. So
we would do maybe three change-outs.
Yeah.
And this time we're doing things quite a bit differently. And, of course, a lot of people love our Latin American folk art.
Oh,
and
it's very good.
We're going to be seeing something like more than 200 works from the Peter P. Cecere collection that he donated to us in the 2000s, 2002, 6, and then 10. We decided to organize that by country to show how he traveled and how he collected from each country rather than by theme. So it's going to be a great opportunity to see many works that we haven't had out in quite a while.
And he was a cultural affairs officer, which gave him a great opportunity to serve in places like Bolivia, Uruguay, Mexico, Ecuador.
and others. So he really covered a lot of ground and, of course, did some collecting.
I think he had a passion for it. I think all told, he had about 30,000 works of art, and he made it his commitment to donate them to, and of course, keeping a number of the gems for himself, but basically making sure that institutions around the country were able to share in these treasures. And we have the wonderful opportunity, we're bringing him out on September 24th for a public talk. It will be open for with museum membership. So we're looking forward to actually hearing about him and how he, you know, discovered these wonderful objects.
Native American art is always a big portion. It's always been a kind of a centerpiece of the Tucson Museum of Art. And you have Native American portraits beginning, again, August 27th, this upcoming weekend.
That exhibition is organized by Christine Brinza, our Glasser Curator of Art at the American West. And Henry Ballink is, of course, an Anglo artist, but he was active in the Taos and Santa Fe area, and part of that Taos school kind of interest in the Stoic or the noble, savage, if you would say, in a derogatory way, but quite frankly, looking at the dignified characteristics of the Native American. And so he found that the portraits of Native American elders in particular were of special interest to him.
And he is he lived from, well, pretty much 20th century.
Early 20th. Uh-huh.
Passing away in 1963. So he's very much part of that kind of golden age of the Taos area and New Mexico painting after the First World War.
Absolutely. So this is great. And then the final exhibition of the four, or the five, is On the Cusp. And what I've done is made selections from our own collection that seem to reflect the tenor of what's happening with From Modern into the Now. So these are exceptional works by Emile Nolde and Picasso, Cathay Kollwitz, wonderful painting by William Glackens that was donated to the museum. All of these artists are, you know, absolute must-haves in museums around the country, and this is a chance for us to really showcase the gems that we have.
So some of these pieces then are coming from maybe all of the pieces from the TMA permanent collection.
All from the collection.
You have that kind of art in your permanent collection.
We do, and it's time that we shout it out from the heights that we do have this kind of work.
So new leadership at the Tucson Museum of Art, a gentleman who comes from, he's working most recently in Dade County, right?
Absolutely.
Yes. Uh-huh. And he has a vision to really, to not only, of course, increase membership at TMA, but make it even a more integral part of our community. Would that be safe to say?
I would say that quality is going to be top on his list. He has been active in making sure that our campus is absolutely to the best standards that we can present. Our signage is changing. He's bringing us up to current practices and ways of engaging audiences through social media. He taught me Instagram, and we're using that quite a lot. I know.
Okay.
I went in kicking and screaming, but now I'm addicted. And all of this is good. It's bringing in younger people. It's bringing in people that hadn't been interested in us before, and then also retaining our membership and our loyal members and fans and support groups.
And again, the historic preservation, for folks who are not familiar with it, the whole Tucson Museum of Art and the historic block is, as you put it, it's a campus.
It is.
Yeah,
yes.
So
we have multiple buildings, and there's a lot of you know, historic pride in those buildings, and it's our duty to make sure that they get seen and taken care of and used in ways that it's beneficial for the community and for the museum. So that's what we're going to be looking at.
All right, Julie Sassy, Dr. Julie Sassy, who has curated most of this upcoming work, and it looks like it's going to be a great season. Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
All right. Buckmaster Show at 12:44 on this Monday afternoon. We'll be right back with Dr. Mark Sykes, and he is the CEO of the Tucson-based Planetary Science Institute. Be right back.
This year, the Regional Transportation Authority celebrates 10 years of delivering projects across our region. More than 755 multimodal projects help you reach your destinations. By delivering both mobility and economic benefits to communities throughout Pima County, the RTA unquestionably makes a difference in our region. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Traveling is more than just the flight. It's the whole experience. In money saved, in time saved. Almost 60 flights take off every day from Tucson International Airport and announcing the newest destination, New York.
American Airlines, now boarding nonstop to JFK.
Daily nonstop service to New York starts October 7th with connections across the Atlantic and throughout the Northeast. Now with 18 nonstop destinations from Tucson, you can get there from here. Travel smart. Travel T-U-S and flytucson.com. It's the way to go.
Business owners and managers upgrade your workforce through training customized to meet your needs. Pima Community College offers affordable, specialized training for companies large and small. Instruction is delivered how, when, and where you want it, whether online, at your business, or a customized combination. Pima Community College instructors make training relevant with a focus on today's real-world business needs and measurable success. Learn more at 206-6593, 206-6593.
Every year, eager travelers journey to Europe to experience the Yuletide season at its very best. With the glittering backdrop of winter white hilltops and extravagantly decorated cities, get swept up in the enchantment that's in the air. Let's not forget the most magical part of all, Europe's famous Christmas markets, renowned for their festive atmosphere, great food and drink, and handcrafted gifts. Experience the magic of the holidays aboard an AMA Waterways river cruise. Call Bon Voyage Travel to plan your Christmas market cruise and save up to 40%. Bon Voyage Travel, 797-1110.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show, this portion presented by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. So much to do over there. It's only 3 hours drive east of Tucson. Places to visit like the Gila National Forest and Wilderness with scenic drives. They've got some great birding and hiking trails. Make a nice little weekend getaway for you upcoming. And if you want to check out, and I hope you do, the full listing of places to stay and the many things to do, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Mark Sykes is with us, the CEO and director of the Planetary Science Institute, 44 years as a Tucson-based nonprofit engaged in the exploration of the solar system. Dr. Sykes has had an amazing career. He's
has discovered comet dust trails, and he's also knows a lot about Pluto. And in fact, that's why he was interviewed by the BBC this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And because the 10th anniversary of the demotion of little Pluto by the International Astronomical Union, demoting Pluto to a, what, sub-planet, sub something like
you know,
that.
You just got to stand up to bullies.
You
I
do.
Think that's the main message.
You
know, they adopted the term a dwarf planet, which actually
that's
had already been suggested by some other folks. but they said dwarf planets aren't planets. Like, uh-huh. I'm sorry, that's a. We'll just take that to be an adjective, and so you know, it's just probably actually the most common type of planet in our solar system and the universe. So it's they have their interesting aspects.
So in that 10-year period, has there been some reconsideration to perhaps make the dwarf planet back to regular status planet?
Not by the IAU, of course, because nobody likes to admit that they made a mistake.
And of course,
but people
rarely ever do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But no, I mean, we basically have two kinds of planets: large planets and small planets.
Mm-hmm.
And well, actually, three kinds. We got kind of large planets like Jupiter, Uranus, Neptune, Saturn, and kind of medium sized rocky planets like Earth, Mars, Venus and Mercury, and then we've got these dwarf planets, which tend to be icy, Ceres, Pluto, Eris, Mahi Mahi, Haumea, and others on out. And
did you say Mahi Mahi? No.
Mahi Mahi. Mahi Mahi, yes.
Oh, Mahi Mahi.
No, it's not a tuna.
Oh, okay.
But the dwarf planets are really interesting because not only they're probably the most common type of planet in the universe, but all of them, at one time or another in their history, are thought to have had subsurface oceans,
mm-hmm.
and where that may have persisted for billions of years. And the question is that, well, if it's warm enough to have liquid water underneath the surface, you know, and towards the core, then could life have evolved there? And given the dynamic state of our early solar system, where Jupiter and Saturn are migrating around, tossing the asteroids, comets, dwarf planets, you know, about here and there, if one of them were to hit an early Earth, maybe that's where our life comes from. Hmm. This is one of these dwarf planets.
And we've learned so much in that 10-year period since the dwarf planet status.
Yeah, well, Pluto is a very active planet.
Very active for
research. As well as Charon, you know, or geologically active. There's a lot going on both bodies. And in fact, Pluto-Charon is actually a double planet.
Mm.
You know, that is
a twofer.
It's like a double star. You know, the two stars orbit each other. It's the same with Pluto and Charon.
Dr. Mark Sykes with us. He, you had a very successful retreat over the weekend. I saw on Facebook. Wow, you had a lot of scientists here in town. Power alone from, I tell you, just looking at the picture on Facebook, I felt smarter. looking at that group of people, my goodness, dozens of people. People, this is a generalization, of course, but most folks don't understand that this is economic research benefits for our community.
Oh, yeah. we bring in this year, pushing 80 people up at the Westford Look Resort,
mm-hmm.
and this was the end of last week, and from all over the country and the world where our scientists work. Our corporate headquarters is here in Tucson, as you noted, mm-hmm. Where about a third of all of our staff are, and it's just a great time. First of all, it's a great time to bring people to Tucson. On our first night, where we had a little welcoming reception, when we had this huge electrical storm and downpour, it's like, you can't get that in other parts of the country.
You don't have to pay for a fireworks show.
Yeah,
You had Mother Nature providing a wonderful show, and the folks coming from other parts of the world, they look at the Catalinas, hey, what's the deal? These mountains look like something out of Maui.
Yeah, they're all green. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. So are we in the right place?
We had a great time. A lot of discussions, a lot of scientific results, you know, from every part of the solar system, because our scientists are involved on every mission out there,
mm-hmm.
Traveling around the solar system, and And then lots of, you know, since people work out of home offices and stuff, a lot of them, then this is an opportunity to get together and plan new projects and research programs. And it was very intense 2.5 days. And at the end of it, we took a little tour up to Worldview.
Oh, really?
And saw the balloon farm.
Uh-huh.
and the new facility that's being built there. I was impressed. It was a lot further along than I had understood.
You were also visiting China since we visited the last month, and came back with some kind of an agreement, didn't you?
Well, always
back with something in your pocket.
Always looking for new business, you know. I was over there working with the Chinese on some potential future opportunities in the exploration of the solar system, as well as in education and public outreach. They're very interested in that now. And I was also having a meeting with people from Korea, who are interested in the same kind of thing. And so, it was a great trip, but still adjusting to get back onto normal time.
Are you ready for a big question? Because one of our callers, it looks like, wants to talk to you about whatever happened or what caused the ice age. That ought to take about 30 seconds, right? Let's go with Dan. Dan, quickly.
Yes, I'm just curious. What caused our last three ice ages, and could it happen again?
Okay.
Well, my understanding is that the last ice ages were caused by the cyclic, you know, cooling, warming trends. I think due to polar wander as well as the orbit of the Earth. And but what will happen again? I think not likely, because the amount of carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gases has put so much energy into the system that under the old cycles, we'd be approaching an ice age now, as I recall reading it at some point in time. But I think it's going to have a tough time given the added energy to the planet.
And there were three ice ages?
However many millions of years that you want to talk about.
How about Niku? Did I pronounce it right? N-I-K-U.
That's how I would pronounce it.
N-I-K-U, kind of this weird high inclination object in the outer solar system. I've been
it turns out, a set of objects, Niku is the most recently discovered one, that are in these high inclination, even retrograde, some of them retrograde, some prograde, but they're very high inclination orbits, and their orbits are out in the outer part of the solar system, out in the Uranus, Neptune, Pluto region. And, you know, the question is, how do you get into that kind of orbit? I mean, it's a real puzzle. And so there's questions about, could it be another object out there, you know, a larger planetary body that would perturb the orbits of these guys. You know, the solar system, as we continue to gain more and more information about it, the mysteries that are revealed are not anywhere near an end. You know, we keep finding objects and activity that we've not seen before and initially have a difficult time explaining. But that's the fun part of my job. Really, I mean, it's to go, okay, how do we figure that one out?
So this is like a chunk of ice that's orbiting the sun basically in the wrong direction.
Right. Now, see,
we
have comets coming in all the time,
right?
That are from the Oort cloud. So way out beyond the inner part of the solar system, even the Kuiper belt. It's the Oort cloud extends halfway to the next star, and these things come in from all directions. You know, so their orbits have poles that are in all directions. But these guys are in orbits where they shouldn't be like that.
Hmm.
And so the question is how is it that came about? And so it's something that you know, people are going to be puzzling over, and it might direct, maybe we should look here or there for objects that we haven't seen yet. It's It's just very interesting.
Niku is a small chunk of ice, takes its name from the Chinese word for rebellious, for those that were wondering. Okay.
So it's a good name.
Yeah, there you go. Dr. Mark Sykes, always a pleasure, and good work at the Planetary Science Institute, and it's psi.edu for more information. I'm a member. Check it out. They do good work, and they are certainly worthy of your support. That's going to do it for the Buckmaster Show. Thank you very much for joining us. We do 3 hours of talk. Wake Up Tucson, basically, with Christy Simone for 3 hours, 6 to 9. And then this afternoon, we've got Mike Shaw and Ray Allen for Tucson at 4. Then me, Bill Buckmaster, back with you at 12:04 for another program. Hope you'll be with us tomorrow. Have a great afternoon.